This is Power Podcast UK with Jenny and Mark.
We're writing a book and we're having a tough time getting it done. If you find it hard to motivate yourself to do something, this is the podcast for you as we explore why we procrastinate and find ways to help us get our book finished.
Whether or not you're writing a book, making a film, painting a picture, or even motivating yourself to do the housework, join us. Let's find a way to get this stuff done. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 33 of Power Podcast UK. Hello, Mark.
Hello. We are here.
Hello.
And we are ready.
Hello.
For a fulfilling episode of Wonderment.
Bonjour.
What's on today's agenda, Jenny?
Today, we're going to talk about workspaces and how improving your workspace can have an impact on your productivity and creativity.
There's nothing worse than going to do some work and the thing that stops you doing your work is the place you should be working at.
Oh, the thing is, I am the worst at this because the only reason that my desk is clear at the moment is because my cleaner told me to clean it. She said, get all the stuff off so I can dust it, because it's just, there's piles of paper and Lego and like a jar of nuts and 2-3 old cups I can't bother to take them downstairs and other, like, you know, stupid gifty things that people give you. It's a pile of useless, worthless, unmotivating tats, Mark. I need help.
Jenny, I'd never put you down as one for nutty Lego.
I mean, it's not fused together. It's not like there's peanuts on my Lego. Because my son's room gets in such a state, he uses the opportunity to go into my study to play, which means that it's always coming the next morning and there's a load of Lego and a drawing of something and he's cut something out. You know, it's just free-for-all, really.
Yeah.
I think having your own space is really important.
No, it definitely is. It definitely is. It's it is difficult, you're right. It's about kind of having that tidy mind, tidy workspace to be able to focus and concentrate. So what can we do?
Well, sort it out, Mark.
Oh, okay, right. End of episode.
Time.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Bye. You can find us on social media. No, but I think you need to make an effort with your workplace. Don't think that you can just work without having everything set up around you that works for you and motivates you, and then keep doing it. I think, because I get myself sorted and then 2 days later it's a state again, so you need to make the effort to frequently clean and tidy up.
Well, it's like an extension of self-care, isn't it? I think
yes,
because a lot of people say, don't they, and rightly so, that take time for you, and that could mean going for a walk, having a bath, reading a book, you know, looking after your mind. You're not constantly working. And I think part of that is also kind of looking after your environment. Like, do the cleaning if you need to do cleaning. Do your washing up. Obviously, you don't have to fastidiously do it. Is that a word? Fastidiously? Be fastidious with your... There you go, that's better. You don't have to be super fastidious. Oh, I can't even say it now. You know what I'm saying, don't you, Jenny? You with me?
Yeah, don't go up your bum about it.
Yeah. Don't be super crazy, like, cleany about your washing up.
Anal?
Well, if you, that's what you're into, Jenny, it's all good.
You know what I mean?
If you know, you don't have to be crazy, I want to do my washing up every hour. It's do what's right for you, but don't let it mount up. Control it. Kind of spreading into your looking after your life, also look after the place where you work. Take that time to do something about it. And it could be as simple as maybe clearing everything off your desk, and that takes, what, 10 minutes, maybe less than that, but then get on with your work and then maybe go back and sort it so it doesn't mount up even more.
I think, though, that the thing is, you always, like, shove it to one side and you never sort it out, and then the next time you shove it again to one side, you never sort it out. So you actually need to have places for things.
Yeah.
And then put them there as soon as they're out of place.
Oh, my.
Back in their place. Because otherwise you just have, like, you have a massive pile of filing, or you have a bag. I've got so many bags full of rubbish that need a home that I just haven't got around to doing yet.
Oh my gosh, Jenny, my friend went to someone's house to drop off something. I can't remember what it was. It was this old lady's house. It might have been I don't know what it was. Anyway, but they went round and they said there was just piles upon piles and piles of newspapers and
magazines.
It was just, it was like a forest of, well, like a Yeah, like a city, not even a forest, a city, like blocks, like waist high, of just papers and books and just general stuff straight out of hoarders. And it was, oh, it was not a good environment. And obviously,
my husband calls me Mr. Trebus all the time. And
what's
it's
Mr. Trebus?
He was one of the first people, this is in the 90s, where they had like a documentary about people that hoard, people that can't throw things away. And Mr. Trebus was one of the first people.
Wow.
And so that is what he calls me most of the time.
But obviously that's kind of like a psychological mental health issue within itself. And so it's not quite the parallel to draw here. But it's just kind of being mindful of never getting to that stage. Because it can be very easy to go, oh, it's there, it can stay there.
Yeah.
But is that the thing that's actually hampering the work that you're trying to do in that space?
It makes such an impact on your state of mind, though, any sort of untidiness in the home or where you're working. I always find that if you're feeling a bit down, if you give yourself a little bit of a tidy up, clean spaces, fresh air, bit of a dust and a polish, a nice smell, it makes so much more difference.
It really does, and on so many levels as well. Like at a stage now, Chris and I have a lot of people that just kind of pop in. We know they're going to come like before, or like, oh, we'll come around. We ran for half hour. You know, you don't say, oh, the place is a mess. Let's run around tidy. It's like, oh well, the place is tidy, so it's fine, and you don't have to feel that kind of shame or guilt. When they come around and think, oh, sorry about the mess.
Yeah, exactly. It just, it makes you more open and makes you can invite people in. When you're out, you go, oh, come have a coffee.
Come to my house and have a cappuccino.
It's lovely and clean. So I would say, come to my house, it's clean for once.
Yeah, it's a lot easier than done, because before you know it, things just really pile up. Are there any kind of foolproof things you can think of actually measuring that and being aware of it and consciously taking that time to fix it? Any things you can put in place?
I think a routine is probably the first thing that you should think about, because once you know, I tidy my desk, I clear my desk every the end of every day, or you know, I give it a lovely dust every week.
A lovely dust.
Lovely fragrant dust every week. That helps you, and then you know then if you've forgotten to do it, something hasn't been done. Is that what you meant? What do you think?
Yeah, kind of, because it's easy for people to say, we should do this and we should do that and we should do this and do that, but actually implementing it is often a different thing. And so how you get it done, what steps
you
take.
But do it in small ways. If you do it in small ways, then it's easier, isn't it, rather than saying I'm going to do a massive big tidy up and change things. If you're doing little things every day, then it makes it easier.
Every little helps, Jenny.
It does. It really does.
Every little helps.
That was Tesco's, you see. They knew what they were talking about.
Well, supposedly. Was it there? I think we should go for a break. And when we come back, I'm going to rant about something that happened to me yesterday, which I'm very perturbed about talking about.
Is it about workspace issue?
Yeah, it is. Okay, then. It's about how industry... big corporate giant has impacted on my work environment and I'm not happy.
I want to find it out right now. Let's go.
Okay. We'll be right back.
I want to talk about Bad Fish Studio. Jenny, have you ever been in a situation where you need to get some t-shirts or some hoodies printed?
But just like unique ones that just come from my head and I've got an idea and I can't find it anywhere else.
Like your own bespoke
all the time.
Design. Well, Bad Fish Studio can do that for you. Maybe you're organising a hen night. Maybe you're organising a stag night or a special birthday celebration and you want everyone to be wearing the same t-shirts or the same hoodies. You can get them designed online with Bad Fish Studio. They do everything from t-shirts to hoodies and a lot more as well.
Ooh, and I guess they're only to order from £15.
Yep, that's it. Yeah. So it's a bargain, 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 bargain.
And they could do really cool stuff. They've got loads of specialist vinyl and various methods, and they can make like the best, most perfect thing that you really, really want to make your garment come alive.
Yep, and they can work with you on your design as well. So you're not alone. They will be able to help you with all their expertise of all the design that they've done before. And what's even better, what's more than that, is if you go to badfishmerch.com, find a t-shirt you want. Maybe you like one they already have in their shops. If you use offer code POW, that's POW, you can save 10%.
Yay! That's great.
So where are they? Where is Bad Fish merch?
Well, you can find them on Facebook, Merch. You can find them on Facebook, Mark, at Bad Fish Merch. Instagram is Bad Fish Studio. Or you can just go to badfishmerch.com and check it out. They've got loads of really cool stuff. They can do full colour images or bold coloured vinyl, including metallic, leather and carbon fibre look vinyl. Glow in the dark, reflective. And what else, Mark?
Well, they even do rainbow or glitter for all you snazzy unicorns out there.
I'm a snazzy unicorn. That sounds great.
I love a snazzy unicorn. Just go straight to badfishmerch.com, use offer code POW to save 10%, and get designing.
And we're back.
We are back. So, Jenny.
Hey, Mark, I'm intrigued and excited. I've been, tender hooks.
So, I've been ordering so much stuff recently for different things I've needed. Like, I needed to reorder a bunch of mounts. I needed to order some things called stiffy bags, which are for my artwork. All sorts of bits and pieces. So, this week has been like, and we had an IKEA delivery. It's been a central post office this week. And I had a delivery from Hobbycraft. I needed to order some crates and storage boxes and things like that. And it came in a massive box, like you wouldn't believe. Like, this box was 1.20 meters. That's how long it was.
That's massive. That's as big as my son.
Yeah. And imagine that as like a cuboid rectangle.
I always imagine people as cuboid rectangles.
But the delivery man came to my door and was like, oh, I've got a big one for you. And I was like, wow, this is exciting. It's like, woo. This doesn't happen every day. Tell me more. And he went off into his van, came out, and like all I could see was his feet because he was carrying this box. It was ridiculous. It was like a massive, like my wardrobe is not as big as this box. Anyway, I opened up the box, thought, can't remember the stuff I ordered being this big. And anyway, it's full. It's half full of plastic packaging. You know, like the little bags that blow up.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many. You wouldn't believe how much plastic it was. It was unreal. And so now, not only have I got this, and the stuff inside it did not need to go into that box. It did not. Yep. It could have been put in smaller boxing. And it was a box within a box as well. A cardboard box of stuff inside this box.
What? That's stupid.
Just send me that. It was.
Yeah.
I was angry. And anyway, so now I've got this massive box, which I don't quite know what to do with. I need to take it to the dump or something because it's way too big for my recycling. And even if I cut it all down and, you know, rip it up, whatever, it's still too big. Like, it's still too much to go into my recycling. And I've got all this plastic, and so now I have the guilt of all this plastic waste I've got, which I didn't ask for, all because
you know this what you should
company.
Do.
What should
send
I do?
Send it back to Hobbycraft.
Well, funnily enough,
send the box and all the plastic.
Yeah, but I've got to pay for that, Jenny. It's not. I've got to pay to
take it to Hobbycraft,
and we'll just dump it on their tills.
Take the till and go. Look, I'm really unhappy. This is because they're doing it now, aren't they? Or they were a few weeks ago for the war on waste on war on plastic on the TV. So you could take your single use plastics back to like the supermarket in Sainsbury's. You could give it to them and say, look, I disagree with the amount of single use plastic you're using. So make it a protest.
I don't know. Take it back to
Hobbycraft and go, look, this is not against you, Mr. and Mrs. Hobbycraft. This is against your superiors and your business practices. Not in my name. Take this waste away.
Well, I think, yeah, you just kind of addressed what my
And then everyone was. Will clap and cheer and you'll be carried out of the store on their shoulders.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah no, my I wouldn't want to lay that at the door of the people that are just working there.
No, that's what you say. It's nothing to do with you, Mr. Hobbycraft. It's to do with your big boss man.
Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, I took to social media. I told my social media accounts about it. And
did
I tagged them
back?
And I messaged them and they haven't come back yet. So they might come back yet. But still,
I mean, now they've been slated on this podcast. I mean, there's no way back for them now.
Well, you know, they might make it better, they might not. Who knows? But so now I've got all this rubbish everywhere. And when I look at it, I feel stressed and I feel like I can't work. So I've had to hide it, and that's not good. But yeah, that was my rant about
that's
how
awful.
External factors and big corporate giants kind of messing everything up. Annoying.
That's awful.
I know. What can you do? What can you do? Cry is what you can do.
Let's not cry. Anyway, let's do some. What is your dream workspace, Mark? Describe it to me.
Let me think. What be my dream workspace? Do you know what? I would want it to be like a carousel. Ooh. And I can't decide if either I'd be in the middle or if I'd be on the outside going round. Have you ever been to Walt Disney World with the Carousel of Progress?
Yes.
So it'd be like that. So it'd be a big carousel divided up into four sections, and each section would have a different function. So one mm-hmm. section would just be like a lovely computer with really nice candles and really nice music playing, really nice comfy furniture, and that'd be a writing space. Then I would hit play on the carousel and the music would start. It would change and go blinky blonky 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 to go to the next zone, which would be that would be like a big painting studio. And so there'd be loads of canvases, a nice sink, lots of paints and different materials and brushes and rollers, and it'd be brilliant. And then I go to the next one, and that might be a little break room. I don't know, it might have a nice fridge in it full of really nice bits and pieces. Nothing, you know, all still healthy, but still like kind of treats. And there'd be sofas and I could have friends around, and that's where that'd be like the breakout room. And then the last one would just be all for like print supplies and stuff, so I can get with my printmaking as well. How's that for a designated workspace?
I mean, that is detailed. I can take from that that you want to compartmentalise all the different aspects of your life.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've got going on in my studio now.
Yeah, that's how you become more productive.
Yeah, so I've got this area over here where I'm talking to you with my computer, where I do all my kind of tippy-tappy, typey-typey work. I've got this area over here where I do like table work, so that might be carving lino, doing paintings, drawing, working things out, you know, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my storage area over here. Then behind me, I've got my sink and my kind of messy stuff, like where I do actually all my printmaking and things like that. So maybe just like a bigger one. But I can't tell if I'd be in the middle of the carousel if I'd be on the outside of the carousel.
Would that not just work even if you had like four different rooms within your house?
Yeah,
but... Or does it have to be a carousel?
It's got to be like Disney. You play the music and the chair spins round. So you step outside and it's like an elevator. It's like a travelator. And it takes you to the next area.
Okay.
And it's fun if people come round. So you look at my space and, you know, it's like a ride at Disney. What could be better?
What's not to like?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Sounds amazing.
Thanks.
I was going to say, like, maybe a candle. You've gone, I need a big carousel.
I don't want horses, though, in my carousel. That's just too far. That's too much.
Too much effort.
Yeah.
Love horses.
I like real horses.
I think if I could have a dream space, it would be just one that's self-cleaning. You know, whatever you do there, you walk away, go and get a cup of tea. When you come back, everything's tidied away. That would be the dream.
But would you lose things that way?
Well, no, because they're always like where, because it's magic. They're always where you think they would be, where you would put them. But like the actual effort, like, takes place as if some birds flew in, Mary Poppins came and clicked her fingers.
I'd love that if Mary Poppins just popped in. All right, Mary.
Yeah.
Having a jolly holiday.
Click. It's gonna tidy up your room for you. There's a spoonful of sugar. See you later. Thanks, Mary.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know.
That would solve everything. And it would always smell nice and always be, you know, all of the little niggly things that put you off.
Yeah.
Just none of that. When you wake up and you've got a headache or something hurts, but then you wake up one day and you don't have any of that stuff and it's like, oh, I'm super duper.
What would your fragrance of the workspace be?
I really like citrusy kind of smells at the moment, and also like the sea salty smells too. So a mixture of those, maybe citrus in the morning to wake you up, and then a more mellow smell of the sea in the afternoon. And then in the evening time, the smell of someone cooking you dinner downstairs. Yeah.
Nice.
That'd be lovely.
So you need one of those Ambipure triple scent ones.
I don't want an Ambipure.
No, I think it's...
Do they do roast dinner smells in Ambipure?
Totally. If they...
For the morning, citrus. For the afternoon, mellow seaside. For the evening,
if they roast chicken. Don't, Yankee Candle does a roast dinner candle.
No, they don't.
They do. It's a,
they don't.
It's for Thanksgiving. What? It was... It's sweet potato... Sweet potato pie. It smells like roast dinner.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I would have that candle.
They do popcorn as well. They do a few kind of foodie ones. They got a whole range called Food and Spice.
Ooh. Have you cut down on your candles? That was your plan, wasn't it?
Well, I haven't bought any, so kind of. I am actually working my way through them. Yeah. And I'm selling some on Tinterwebs as well.
On these bits.
Which is nice.
I bought some candles the other day from a local eco business near me, Emporio Green Army, and they were very reasonable and very good delivery, and I would recommend them if you're in the area of Thatcherman Newbury.
Mm. Do they work with Kennet Radio?
No, they don't.
We love our Southern Thames Valley suppliers. Very good. Very good.
They were very nice. Anything else to say about the workspace thing, Mark?
I think it's easy to underestimate the power of a functioning workspace to help with your productivity and to get you going. It's just so easy to let things like that slip, though, because other things will always be more important, I think.
I think it makes such a difference. Like when you walk into a funky office and it's really cool and you can like feel it buzzing, and that's because people have spent the time to make it a functional, inspirational space, and you need to get that kind of vibe. Wherever you're working,
it's a constant balance of I've got to get this work done, or do I take the time out to tidy my space to help with the work done? And so many times it's, well, I need to get the work done, so it kind of falls by the wayside. And then when you're ignoring that, all the other bits and pieces you need to do, like our writing for our book, kind of falls by the wayside, because it's all a mess. I'll do it later. I'm not in the right frame of mind. Whereas otherwise, you could just go to your desk and go, spend a Pomodoro time on this.
Pomodoro, we haven't mentioned Pomodoro for about 4 episodes.
Pomodoro.
So happy. Pomodoro. Yeah, I think that's where if you do little things, little routines, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
And when things are a habit, they don't seem to take up much time.
And Pomodoro, for anyone wondering, is the principle of taking the time it takes to make a tomato-based pasta sauce to do your writing. Which is, how long does it take? 18 minutes?
Is it 25 minutes?
It's 20 something. Maybe it's half hour.
Yeah, maybe it's 22 minutes.
It's not a long amount of time. It goes back
just to... Just enough time.
In a really early episode, I talked about that writer, which I still don't know who her name is. Let's say Sophie Kinsella. It isn't Sophie Kinsella, but let's just say it's her.
She... I know that, you know, Joe Lycett uses it.
Does he?
I remember that from one of the... Yep. He's a big fan of it.
And what this Sophie Kinsella lady used to do, wasn't her, another one, she stopped watching EastEnders. And whenever EastEnders was on, the time that she would have spent watching EastEnders, she wrote. And that's how she wrote her books, by stopping watching EastEnders and changing her habits and using that time to do something else.
Bet she missed EastEnders, though.
No one misses EastEnders, Jenny.
Bet she felt it at the Christmas special. Who's that? Who's this? What are they? What's going on? That's what I do during EastEnders Christmas.
Why do you want an EastEnders Christmas special when you've got Strictly Christmas special? Nothing's better than that, Jenny. That's all the Christmas you need. It's
not on the same time, Mark, is it?
Well, exactly. You've watched Strictly and you've got to sit down on the sofa and recover. Like, oh, that was exciting. I shall now go and get some. Strictly.
And then you watch Call the Midwife.
No.
No?
No.
No.
You watch Strictly, and then you might watch maybe QI Christmas special.
Oh, nice.
Or a bit of Santa Claus the movie, something like that.
Oh, God, I love Santa Claus. My favourite.
No, you need to watch that on Christmas Eve, really, don't you? You can't watch that on Christmas Day.
No, Christmas morning. That's the best time to watch it.
No, because Santa's been. You can't get excited about him coming, because he's been.
You can still watch a film about Father Christmas on Christmas Day. Are you saying that's too late? You're saying maybe October we should start watching it?
No, well, yeah.
You're saying now?
Well, no, not now, Jenny. But it's a Christmas Eve movie. It's like, oh, it's Christmas Eve. And look at him delivering all the presents.
No, It's A Wonderful Life's a Christmas Eve movie.
Oh, yeah.
How about The Muppet Christmas Carol? Where do you Never. Stand
there? No, this
That's
is
That's such a good... You don't this like it,
This is where
it
gets controversial.
No, I love it.
Oh, whenever I say this, I get so much hate mail. I'm over it. I don't like The Muppets. Everyone, get over it.
But you like Fraggle Rock, though, don't you?
Oh, I love Fraggle Rock. Fraggle Rock's See? Very, very
That's
different.
Pretty much The Muppets.
Well, same materials used to make them, maybe.
Same creator.
Well, it's a different story.
Well, yeah.
They've got little Goomba people in Fraggle Rock. You don't have that in The Muppet. Muppets just have the same episode over and over and over. The same characters, the same voices, same songs. celebrity, what do you call it? Guest star. Yeah. Ugh, I'm over it.
Okay.
Sorry, not sorry. But Mickey's Christmas Carol, certainly.
Oh, that's fine, yeah.
And it's really short as well. It's like 20 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
So you can...
That's about my attention span.
Again, that's a Christmas Eve movie, right? Christmas Carol is about Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas Carol's a Christmas... Yeah, I mean, once you've gone past Christmas morning when he says, get me the turkey boy, there's no point watching it, really.
I know a great Christmas movie.
Scrooged!
Well, that's a bit dark, Jenny, isn't it?
All right, sorry.
And it's Bill Murray. Don't look in. Anyway, what'd be a good one?
What?
I'm ready.
What?
I said it. I mean,
let's unpack that later.
This is turning into a very... We are learning that my opinions differ from a lot of people's. And I'm going to get even more hate mail, Jenny, and I don't want to get any more. I'm bored of it.
Okay, let's gloss over it. What were you going to say? What other film?
Home Alone.
Ah, perfect.
That is the best Christmas movie. Oh, my goodness. It's Christmas in a box. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to start watching it in October.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can watch Home Alone all year round.
Yeah. Because there's four movies as well, so you can just watch all of them once a month.
Mm-hmm. On a rotation.
Yeah. Here's
it'll work fine for the year.
Quick question, just before we go. Controversial. Ready?
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
Nightmare Before Christmas. Christmas movie, Halloween movie. What is it?
I think it's a Halloween movie.
But it's set at Christmas. Well, yeah, it's set at Christmas.
Is it? I'm pretty sure it came out in Halloween, in the film. The film was released at Halloween. That's why I think it's a Halloween film.
But they take over Christmas.
But it was released. It was released in Halloween, at Halloween.
But Rise of the Guardians was released in the summer, and it's Easter.
Yeah, I mean that's a film about all the seasons, though. So they need to have it in the middle, so to not offend any particular season.
Oh dear. Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know what it is.
It's very tough.
Maybe it's like a November movie.
What do you think? What do you think it is?
I think it's kind of Halloween.
Yeah. See. You're fighting the Christmas corner, but really, you know. But also because there's so many Christmas films, but there's not a lot of Halloween children films.
There's Halloween Town.
I don't know the one. Is Edward Scissorhands a Christmas film?
I don't know. It's a Johnny Depp film.
I think it's still okay to like it, though.
What about Hocus Pocus?
Oh, that's a Halloween film, right?
Yeah, there we go. That's a Halloween film. No, I don't mind Johnny Depp. What he does in his private life has nothing to do with me. If I find his movies entertaining,
I do mind
that's
him,
a different thing.
But I'm not going to stop watching very old Johnny Depp films.
But also, like, what do we know about the validity of anyone else's claims?
I think
I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
I don't even think we should talk about it.
And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But all I'm saying is the fact that we don't know because it's so far removed from what we're doing shouldn't impact you liking or disliking a movie with that person, unless they're a killer.
I think people should consider it more. But at the end of the day, a lot of films are not just one person; they're a collaboration of different people.
Exactly,
and it's unfair to people that made the film.
Exactly. It was like when people started boycotting the Fantastic Beasts movies. I was like, well, he's just a very, very small part of it. And you need to...
And I haven't seen it yet. Is it rubbish?
Look at the bigger picture.
I've heard it's rubbish.
There's only two of them. The second one was very plot-driven.
I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one because I heard bad reviews.
It was good. It's just it was a lot of talking, which is fine. But it's a lot goes on. You miss a lot.
But I want to see it for Jude Law, and that's the only reason I'm going to see everything, really.
It's not Harry Potter, really. It's like this Wizards Unite Pokemon thing. I don't get it.
It's not Harry Potter, is it?
Well, there's none of the characters in it. You're just kind of, I don't get it. At least with Pokemon.
Harry Potter is in it.
Is he?
Yeah.
Where? Oh, I don't know. I've not seen it.
No, he kind of like talks to you.
Oh, okay.
His face pops up. Hello. He's old Harry Potter. And he goes, oh, you need to go and get this from this. And then your other one's going, oh, yes, this and this. You must do this.
Oh, okay.
Like the trainer in Pokemon, but not quite.
Because with Pokemon, at least you're collecting Pokemon, which is something from your childhood. Whereas with Harry Potter, what are you collecting? You're collecting nothing to do with the books or anything. It's like...
They kind of are, but in a weird way. It's not very good.
I don't know. I've not even played it, so I can't really talk about it.
It's not very... It's too complicated. There's too many layers. And all you really want to do is walk around pretending to be a magician.
I just want to walk around all day and pretend I'm Paul Daniels, Jenny.
Oh my god, that'd be an amazing game.
Here's my Wizbit character. Pick a card, any card.
You'll like this.
Here's Debbie McGee. Dear Debbie McGee, what was it that first attracted you to the multimillionaire Paul Daniels?
Oh, that's good.
On that bombshell, I think it's time to go.
I think we've waffled. Yes. We are.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, as always. And yeah, we'll see you next
time. Find us in our usual places. Power Podcast UK on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and other social medias.
And Snapchat and TikTok.
No, we're old.
What the fuck is TikTok?
Hector asked if he wanted to join the TikTok the other day. I was like, no, because I don't know what it is.
It's a character from Return to Oz. That's what TikTok is.
Oh, I hate that film. We're waffling again. Right.
That's another Halloween film.
Ugh, it's a terrible film. Yeah, it belongs in Halloween.
I love that movie. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Right.
Night, night.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Sleep well.
Find all our show notes and links on our website, powerpodcastuk.blogspot.co.uk. Or you can email us at powerpodcastuk@gmail.com.
Find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at powerpodcastuk. Please give us a like and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.